the older that we get, the faster that life seems to go by. You know, every day that we live, we're writing the history of our own lives. Right now, this is the last day that we are writing the history of our lives for this year. Let's think of the book analogy for a moment. Writing our own books, this is the last chapter of our book that we're writing of 2017. And at the end of our lives, the final word will be written, and our books, as we know, will be closed. Everything that is written in those books, it'll be all wrapped up, closed up in our book. The final chapter will have been written. At the judgment, that book is going to be opened again. Your book, my book, is going to be opened. And according to the Bible, our deeds, or we are going to be judged, as the scripture reading said, according to our deeds, according to the things that we do. Now, as we write our history, we should do our best to make the most of every chapter, right? As we're writing our history today, this is the last day of 2017, we ought to be doing our best to write each chapter better today than last year. And if the Lord grants us another day tomorrow to wake up to begin our new chapter of 2018, it ought to be better. You know, it's like a book. You know, you're hoping that each chapter gets better and better. A good book builds anticipation, doesn't it? If it doesn't, you close that book and you're done with it. Our books that we're writing, they ought to be building an anticipation, kind of. They ought to be better and better as we're growing more and more every day. And I know that you want that. I know that you, just as I, desire to be better in 2018 than I was in 2017. We want to be more, don't we? We want to be more in tune with God and His Word and His desire for our lives. We want to be better. We want to be a better people. But the question is, how can we be better? How can I be better in 2018? And that's what our lesson is simply going to be about this morning. Hopefully I'll get through it. I'm doing okay right now. But living better in 2018, I just like the way that sounds. I want you to get in your mind better, being better. Look, we know Jesus was better. Go back and read the Hebrew letter. It's all about Him being better, right? And so we can be better as well. And so how? How can we do that? There's five things. So if you're writing these things down, this will be your lesson. There are five things I want us to keep in mind for this lesson that will make us better in 2018. First of all, we need to keep in mind the value of people. Don't we? Church, will that not make us better? If we value more and more people, and we understand more and more the value of every person, because every person to God is valuable, none of us would say anything different. We would agree. The value of people. You know, the publisher Malcolm Forbes once said, people who matter most are aware that everyone else does too. And that's true. The people that matter most understand people matter most. Think about our Lord Jesus. He valued people so much. And to be better in 2018, I'm going to need to value people more. I'm going to need to value you more. The best lives lived, we would all conclude, are the ones that are truly lived for other people, not for themselves. We never look at a selfish person and say, oh, you know, they're the best lives that have ever been lived. No, we look at those who have lived for others. We honor that. We respect that. Paul will write to the Philippians in chapter 2, verse 4, don't just look after your own interests, right? But look after the interests of love others. Of course, that was in the context of that church and one another. But he goes on to said, we've got to regard one another even as more important than ourselves. That's truly valuing people, isn't it? John Maxwell writes about his brother Larry, who was an extremely successful businessman. Very wealthy. Matter of fact, he writes that his brother Larry, at the age of 40 years old, had enough money to never work again another day of his life. He doesn't say how much he made, but had to be a lot of money. Larry's temptation, he wrote, was to quit working altogether. But Larry realized that wouldn't be healthy for him to just stop working at the age of 40. So this is what he decided to do. And he's writing as if he was Larry. Larry said, I don't work for another home anymore. I don't work for more money. All of the work I do now is going to allow me to give money away. I now work for a great cause, he said. I work to help other people. You see, there's just a small example of one who is choosing or chose to value other people's life. Now, he's valuing them in a different way, but nevertheless, he's valuing other people. And if we're going to be better in 2017, we must value people more. I want you to think about this in terms of a soul. You know, the point is to value people more. But every person has a soul. We've got to value souls, don't we? G.K. Chesterton once said, the hardest thing to accept in the Christian religion is the great value that it places on the individual soul. More value than I think I fully understand. When I'm looking at you, I see a person, but I don't think I fully see the value of your soul and who you are to God. That every person that I ever come in contact with, or that you come in contact with, is so valuable to God. That's why our Lord himself would say, Matthew 16:26, and you could quote this, what does it profit a man if he gains it all? If he gains the whole world and he forfeits his soul, for what will a man give in exchange for his soul? And then he goes on to say, for the Son of Man is going to come in the glory of his Father with his angels. Hear this, hear our Lord here, and will then repay every man according to his deeds. Those were the words of our Lord himself. And so, if we're going to be better in 2018, we've got to value people. Why are people so valuable? You know, there was a list of three things that I thought of this week as I was working through this. And we'll run through these fairly quickly. Genesis 1:27 says two of those, right? First, that we were created, as we know, in God's image and likeness. There lies our value. We were created by him, which means that we are his. Everyone you see is his. Now, they may not be living for him, but they are still his. And then he goes on to say, not only are we his, but we were made in his very image. And then thirdly, that each one has a soul. And so there we find that that is the only part of us, of every person, that is of an eternal nature. That really, truly lasts forever. Every soul will last forever, according to the Bible. Matthew 10:28, Jesus said, do not fear those who can kill the body, which we do. In the flesh, we tend to fear physical things. Jesus said, don't. Not those who can kill the body. Of course, that they were facing persecution in their time. So they literally had a reason to fear those who would kill them, right? Jesus said, don't fear those who kill the body. They're unable to kill the soul. He said, rather you should fear those who can are the one that can destroy both body and soul, right? That's what he said. And so everyone has a soul. And so we'll live better in our lives in 2018 when we keep in mind the value of everyone, the value of every person. Second point, we must keep in mind that there's a judgment. Now, I don't know what your view is of judgment, and it doesn't really matter. I think we would all come to the same conclusion at the end. There is a summing up of all things, however we view it. There is a picture the Bible paints of everyone coming before God. And so from that picture, I want us to think about how we need to keep our minds on a judgment. That there is going to be this. Think about our books again, okay? We're writing our books, as I said earlier. I want you to think about books that you read. Usually when you start a book and you open it up to the first or second page, you'll notice something in there called a dedication. And what is the dedication of the book? Well, usually it's dedicated to somebody very, very, very important to the one who wrote it. Right? It's dedicated to the one who influenced my life the most. I think the only thing really that is going to matter at that time, the judgment, is whether or not our dedication is to the Lamb. In our books as they opened up, will it say dedicated to the Lamb? Because that's the only one that can make us, as we know, right in the eyes of God anyway. Or pleasing to God when that time comes, when everything is going to be revealed. God has an appointed day, and we understand that because you're already beginning, some of you, to make appointments for this year, right? Some of you are making doctor appointments because you got to go get a checkup. Others, you got to get teeth work, and so you're going to go to the dentist. And so you're making appointments already. There's going to be appointments with the tax man or woman, lady, right? We understand appointments. Well, the Bible talks about an appointment. Not only an appointment that I have with death, but I have with my Creator. There is an appointment that all of you have with God. That's why the Hebrew writer will say in chapter 9, 27, and is in as much as it is appointed, there's an appointment for men to die once, after this comes judgment. In Acts chapter 17, Paul will record in verse 31 that God has fixed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness through a man whom he has appointed. Who's that? Jesus. Because he goes on to say, having furnished proof to all men by raising him up from the dead. I'm thankful God's going to judge us through the righteous Jesus. Because that's the only hope we've got. Good deeds or bad deeds. When those books are open, he's the only thing that's going to matter before God. Was our life dedicated to the Lamb? Were we washed in the blood of the Lamb? Did we live for the Lamb? God has an appointed day to open the books. And when he opens the books, it's going to be your deeds that he reads. It's going to be my deeds that he reads. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 5:10, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. I think that means everybody. Whatever the judgment seat of Christ is, We are all going to appear before that so that each one may be recompensed. The idea is to be repaid. Recompensed for his deeds in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. Now remember, it all what all matters is what we did with Jesus. He's our saving grace. We understand that. Paul will write in Romans 2:6, God will render to each person according to his deeds. Are we ready for that day? I'm not ready for that appointment as much as I need to be, but I know that I have an appointment. And if we're going to live better lives in 2018, we're going to be aware of that appointment that each one of us has with death and with our God. Third point, if we're going to be better in 2018, we need to keep in our minds also the uncertainty of life. I know this might sound a little glim, but it's a reality that we can't ignore. We're not to live every day. I don't think God wants us to live every day worried about that moment. But I do think we need to keep it in mind if we're going to be better in 2018. The uncertainty of life. Many quotes out there. C.S. Lewis said, all men must deal with their death. He actually said they're going hence. Death. What's to come? Oh, Solomon said it this way, for the living know they will die. They keep it in mind. You see, the living know the uncertainty of life. I shared with you last week the story of my friend George Robeson that was in that accident. I'll give you a little update on him. Him and Brenda, his wife, I went to school with them, and they were in an accident, and Brenda was killed upon impact, and George is in the hospital in critical condition. Still in ICU, he is doing better and progressing, but he's not in a regular room yet, and the doctor said that by the time when he gets into a regular room, he's going to probably have somewhere around 30 days of recovery in the hospital. So I ask for your prayers, and it's just another reminder of the uncertainty of life. They were on their way before Christmas to visit their new grandbaby that was born. Their daughter had another baby and before Christmas, and so one moment they're full of excitement going to visit the family, and the next life was over and changed forever. That's the uncertainty of life, that there are no guarantees. And if we keep that in our minds throughout this year, I think we're going to be better. The reality that life is short, as Job himself even would relate, that man who is born of a woman is short-lived and full of turmoil. Like a flower, he comes forth and withers. He also flees like a shadow and doesn't remain. We're like a flower. James will say it this way, that we're like a vapor, right? Remember James there? I'll kind of paraphrase there where he says, hey, you who go to such and such city and say, let's make a profit. You know, you don't know what tomorrow's going to be like. So you ought to say, if the Lord wills, right? If it's God's will or desire, we'll go to this and that city and make a profit there. But then he says, life is a vapor. It's here today and it's gone tomorrow. We're all on borrowed time, the wise man said. We're all on borrowed time. Nobody knows the end. That's why to live every day as if it's my last is some of the best life advice that I have ever heard. The only easy day was yesterday. Yesterday's gone. Tomorrow's not here. You don't have yesterday. You don't have tomorrow. All you've got is now. What are you going to do with it? Today. The last day of 2017, you're going to write the last few words of your chapter. And it closes. I've heard it said that every day is a new life to a wise man. I love that quote. If I can live every day, it's not as just a new day, that in my mindset, every day is a new life. I've been given new opportunity. Today's different than yesterday. And if we have tomorrow and God grants it to us, it'll be different than today. And the wise man in person will realize that. Moses in his Psalm 90 verse 12 would say, so teach us. This is one of my favorites. I use it at funerals often. Teach us to number our days. These are Moses' words. So that we may present to you, we're talking to God, a heart of wisdom. See, we tend when we number our days and know the uncertainty of life, we choose to make some better decisions, don't we? And if we're going to be better in 2017, we've got to keep in mind the uncertainty of life. Fourthly, living better in 2017, we've got to keep in mind both destinies. Both destinies. The good book says, you know it, that there is a heaven and there is a hell. Both places are taught in the Bible. Duration same according to what I understand the scriptures to say. The experience is a world apart. Completely different. I don't think I could really paint the picture of either one. But we do know that on one side it is a place of complete, utter agony, whatever that is. Misery, torment, absence of anything that is good. Anything that is good. Nothing is right in that place. Everything is wrong. It is, we could say, an unhappy and an unhealthy place. It's not good for you. That's one destiny. On the other side, though, you have a place of comfort and peace. Those aren't even good words for me, but comfort and peace, nothing but good. Everything is right. It is the perfect life. God is there. That's what will make it perfect. Amen. Amen, church. God is there. Jesus is there. Everyone who has loved God in Jesus is there and will be there. That's one side. That's the other side. And it's also an idea of a place that is whatever the perfect life and existence is and can be, that's what it is. Even a restoring of what we lost in the very beginning, whatever we lost. Whatever our parents lost in the beginning, restored. Even Jesus said, heaven is a prepared place for a prepared people, isn't it? Jesus will say of himself, remember John 14, that I go to prepare a place for you. And that I'm going to come again to receive you to myself. That where I am, you may be also. I want to read to you briefly Matthew 25. You know that judgment scene where Jesus talks about the goats on one side and the sheep on the other? Well, that's a picture of judgment here. And he's talking about, and he'll say that you did all these things to me or you didn't do all these things. When there was a stranger, you brought him in. When there was someone naked, you clothed them. When they were in need of food, you gave it to them. On and on. You did these things to me or you did not do these things to me. The emphasis was whatever you did it to me. That's the main part of Matthew chapter 25. Verses 31 through verse 45. But I want you to listen to the end of that. Because there were those saying, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or stranger or naked or sick or in prison? And we didn't take care of you. He said, then he will answer them, truly I say to you, to the extent that you did not do it to one of these, the least of these, you did not do it to me. These will go away into eternal punishment. And then he concludes it with the greatest truth, but the righteous into eternal life. The sheep. Those who served our Lord Jesus. Their lives were dedicated, and it was written in their books. They were dedicated to Jesus. Last point. Our lives will be better in 2018 when we keep in mind again and again, and it's hard, but when we keep in our minds that we are living examples. I don't care who you are, where you're at in your life, you're an example. That example might be good or it might not be so good, but you're an example. I'll tell you a story I heard, and I can't remember all of the details, but I'm going to give you the gist of this story. In this church, a man had visited the church, and I don't know who this guy was, and I had heard this a long time ago. Great story, though, about influence or being an example. There was a little boy in this church who was about 6 or 7 years old. And he had no hair up here. It was all gone right here. Except a couple little tufts right on the side. Right here. And the guy who came to visit the church, he saw this little boy and his first thought was that something had happened to him. Perhaps he was sick and had cancer. You know, when you have chemotherapy, I mean, it's a common thing that the chemotherapy usually causes people's hair to fall out, along with all kinds of other problems that surface with that. And so the first thought, this man visiting thought, this young little boy, he was sick and he had cancer. Well, that was the furthest thing from the truth. He was actually very healthy. Somebody had told the man who was visiting, they kind of chuckled. They said, actually, he wanted to look like his preacher. And so he went down to the barber and he told the barber he wanted to look like the preacher. So the barber shaved his head right here and left two little tufts of hair right here. Talk about being an example. Being a living example. Now, if you can get a six-year-old to cut their hair like that, you're doing good. You're being a good example. Someone is following in your footsteps. No man dies or lives or dies to himself. And this is why Paul would even write to Timothy and tell him, let no one look down on your youthfulness, Timothy, but rather in your speech, in your conduct, in your love, in your faith, and in your purity. Show yourself an example of those who believe. You'll live better in 2018 if you do that. Don't let anyone look down on you, but be an example. Christian means Christianity on display, doesn't it? It's supposed to. It's a life that's supposed to magnify Jesus. In a world without direction, you and I are the ones to lead the way. We're called to lead the way, to be that light before the world. Those are ways, five ways, that you and I can be better in 2018 if we keep them in mind. Yes, you are writing the history of your lives. It's your book. Today is the last day that you're going to write the final words of your chapter. And then a new chapter begins if tomorrow happens, and you'll begin to write the words of your new chapter. Time is going to come when your life is over. And we all know our books are going to close. But there's coming a day. There's coming a moment. A time, appointed time, whatever, however you want to look at it, where our books are going to be opened again. And everything in them, are going to be revealed. Our deeds are what He will read. And so let us live better in 2018, as one man put it. If you're not doing something with your life, it doesn't matter how long you last or how long you live. Do something with our life. What's the best thing you and I can do with our life? Here it is. You know it. Live your life for the dedication and for the cause of Jesus Christ. And you'll be better in 2018. Those are the final words of the lesson this morning. I hope there's something in here for you to think about and to keep in mind. We're going to stand. Cliff's going to lead us in an invitation song. We want to encourage you, pray for you, help you in any way. There's plenty of people here who would love to encourage you, whatever your needs may be. If you're ready to come to Jesus, put them on in baptism, we can also do that this morning. Whatever your need may be, would you come as we sing the invitation song?